thank the Lord that we can consider God's Word once again. Okay, so let us turn our Bibles to the book of Mark first, in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, and we will consider these portions of Scripture in turn. Right? They are parallel passages, right? But there's also things to learn in each of these passages. Okay? So before we go further, let us look to the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord to help us to understand His Word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word that we can consider week after week, and for this privilege that You have given to us to study the life of Christ. We pray that as we learn more of our Savior, that You will be pleased to help us to grow in our love for Thee, and to grow also in our obedience to Thy Word. That as we learn more of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us, that we will also be more like Him. And so, Lord, we pray that Thou will forgive us of all of our sins, and we pray that You will be pleased to help us as we seek to understand Your Word. We pray that You will help us to be able to not only understand it, but also to obey it and apply it in our lives. We pray that Thou will bless us in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the topic for our consideration this evening is preaching the kingdom of God. Now, ambassadors, they have a duty to represent their country of origin, right? And that's what we understand about the word ambassador, or the duty of an ambassador, right? They speak and they negotiate on behalf of the country, right? And their behavior and their words will reveal what the country is like, right? Or what the country stands for, right? That is the duty of the ambassador, right? When the ambassador of a country goes to another country, he stays in a country, but he's there to represent the country that he comes from, right? And when he speaks, yes, he speaks on behalf of himself, but he also speaks on behalf of the country of origin, right? And the things that he does, he doesn't only do it, right, making a name for himself or point the deeds that he does pointing to himself, right, but the things that he does also point to where he comes from, right, because he's there as a representative of the country of origin. And that is why, you know, in the news sometimes, from time to time, we see how some ambassadors, right, they have been embarrassed because of the crimes that they would commit, right, in other countries, right? And when these ambassadors are sent by these countries, they are supposed to be model citizens, right? They are supposed to be representatives of the country that they come from, right? But instead, when they are there, they commit crime and they shame the name of their country, right? And so that's what we understand about ambassadors, right? And a good ambassador is one who represents his country well. He represents the values and the desires of the country. A bad ambassador is one who now shames the name of the country, right? And as believers, we are called to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how are we to be ambassadors of Christ? Well, we are called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we stand for? We stand for the gospel. How are we to live our lives? We are to live our lives in accordance to the gospel. Right? And so that is our duty. We are to be ambassadors of the gospel. And all that we say, all that we do, will reveal to others what our country is like. And as citizens of heaven, our country is in heaven, right? The kingdom of God. Right? And when we go forth and speak and we live our lives, well, we are actually telling the world what our country is like. And what kind of an ambassador will you be? Right, that is the question. Because it's not so much a question of whether you will be an ambassador or not, but if you call yourself a Christian, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are already an ambassador. The question is, will you be a bad ambassador, a poor ambassador? Or will you be a good ambassador, right, for the Lord Jesus Christ? And Yes, it is true. Right. Sometimes we will struggle. Right? We struggle with sin. Right? We struggle with being a good ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to learn how can we be a good ambassador of Christ. Right? And there's no other better ambassador than Christ Himself. And that is exactly what we see from our passages today. Right, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, He was an ambassador of His kingdom. Right? He came to show to the world what the kingdom of God is like. And how did He do it? How did He go about doing it? He preached the kingdom of God. And so even as we consider this topic of preaching the kingdom of God, right, do not think of it just narrowly and exclusively as just the articulation of the gospel. Right? Do not just think of it narrowly as just speaking the gospel verbally. Right? But when we are talking about preaching the gospel of the kingdom or preaching the kingdom of God, we are speaking of the whole person. Right? Are you now in the world, in where the Lord has placed you, preaching the kingdom of God in your words, in your life, in the things that you do, in the things that you choose not to do? Right? And that is what we want to learn, how we can be good ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is that perfect ambassador. And in this passage, in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, right, we see how this ambassador lived his life. Right? And of course, Christ is the king of this kingdom, and therefore He is the best representative of what the kingdom is like, and so we learn from our king. And the first thing that we see from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, is the resource that we have in preaching the kingdom of God. Okay? The resource or the help, the strength, the grace that we can have in preaching the kingdom of God. Right? And what we find in Mark chapter 1 is the resource of prayer. Now, if you remember the last time where we left off, right? Last week, we considered how the Lord Jesus Christ, He had compassion on the people, so much so that He was even willing to minister to the people into the night. Right? He was willing to forgo even His sleep, forgo even His earthly comforts, just so that He can minister to the people. And we leave off from there, and when we look at verse 35, the Bible here says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And so Jesus had just ended a night of ministry. He would have been tired. He would have been sleep deprived. And yet in the morning, what did He do? He did not, you know, just sleep in to catch up on the rest. Right? But what He did was He rose up early to pray. Right? And in fact, the Bible here is quite emphatic because in verse 35, the Bible says that He rose up a great while before day. Right? The idea here is before the daybreak, right? Before the sun rose. Right? A great while before the sun rose, He took time to pray. Right? And this is what Christ did because He understood the importance of prayer. Right? Because we compare here with what happened the day before. Right? He would have been tired. He would have needed rest. But what did Christ value more? Did He value His rest? Or did He value prayer? He was willing to pray even at the expense of His earthly bodily rest. He was willing to pray because He saw it as a great importance, a great need. He was willing to pray because He knew that this was what He must devote Himself to. Right? And this is really something very interesting that we see about Christ. Because who is Christ? Why does He pray? Right? Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Right? And when we think about prayer, oftentimes we think about, you know, we pray because we need to ask God for something. We pray because we do not know what the future holds. Right? So we pray, we ask the Lord to lead us and direct us. We pray because we need strength, we need help, right? We need grace in order to obey Him. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God. And being God, He is omniscient, He is omnipotent. Right? He knew all things, right? He knew what would happen, touching His divinity, right? He knew the future. Touching His divinity, He also had all power, right? He had power to will whatsoever He desired, right? If He so chose, right? And that is the power of Christ, right? And so you may think that, you know, then there's no need to pray, right? Because what would Christ need to ask God for, right? Because Christ Himself is God. He could have supplied His own need. But you see, when we think about Christ, yes, He was God. Yes, He had all power. Yes, He knew all that the Father knew. And He was even filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you remember what we discussed previously, how He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was given to Him without measure. Right? In other words, He was fully equipped to do what the Lord had called Him to do. He had all grace. And yet Jesus prayed. Why did He do so? Well, it is because prayer is not just about asking the Lord for things. It's because prayer is not just because I need something from God, or I don't know what will happen in the future, and so therefore I pray. But prayer is far greater than that. Prayer is communion. Jesus prayed. Jesus saw the importance of prayer because He saw the importance of His communion with His Father. He desired to speak to His Father. He desired to spend time with His Father. And that was why Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed because He honored the Father. Right? We know that prayer is also a form of worship. And of course, you know, touching Christ. Right? Yes, Christ was God Himself. And so we do not really say that Christ worshipped God the Father. That would not be very theologically consistent. Right? But in prayer, what Christ was doing is that He honored the Father. Right? He came in obedience to the Father. He continued to submit Himself to the Father. And that was what prayer was for Christ. Right? He subjected Himself to the will of the Father. And of course, touching His humanity, Christ needed strength. Christ knew that He needed to rely on His Father, touching His humanity. And so that is why Christ prayed. And so Christ understood the importance of prayer. So much so that He would take time away from His sleep, that He would go into a solitary place, right? A deserted place, a place that no one can disturb Him, and then just spend uninterrupted time with His Father. And that is what we must also understand of prayer, the importance of prayer. You see, Christ knew that without prayer, right? He needed prayer. He needed His Father's presence, even as He did the will of the Father. And that is why He spent time in prayer. Right? But for the disciples, did they understand this? Well, you see in verse 35, right, after the Lord Jesus Christ, He rose up a great while before day, and He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed. Well, His disciples now came and looked for Him, right? In verse 36, and Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him, and when they had found Him, they said unto Him, all men seek for thee. And so while the Lord Jesus Christ saw the importance of prayer for His ministry, the disciples did not, right? Because what happened was that now Simon and some of the disciples, they followed after Him, and the idea of following after here has the idea of hunting or searching, right? Like searching for your enemies. Right? And so that's just to give us a picture of what the disciples were doing. Right? They were hunting around, looking for Christ. Where did He go? Why did He suddenly disappear? And the Bible here says that when they had found Him, right? So that means they were seeking Him, they were looking for Him, they couldn't find Him, and then finally, they found Him. Right? And when they found Him, what did they say? In verse 37, all men seek for thee. Right, and the word seek there has the idea of seeking in order to find. Right? The people there were trying to look out for Christ, trying to find where Christ was. Right, but at this point in time,
Where was Christ? Christ was praying.
Christ was spending time with his Father. And you see here that while the people were looking for Christ, was it a good thing that these people were looking for Christ? Yes, it was a good thing. Right? These people needed Christ. Right? There were people in need. There were people demanding Christ's attention. But even though that these people, or even though these people genuinely needed Christ, these people had a genuine need, yet Christ started the day with prayer even before he began his day of service. And you can say that, well, actually these service areas of service are so important, right? These areas of service of ministering to people, of preaching the gospel, of healing them, right, is so important. Right? And so just cut a bit of time from prayer and then just go and minister to the people, right? Things need to be done. But for Christ, well, he saw that prayer was more important, right? That he had to pray before he could even minister to the needs of these people. And do we see, or do we have that same importance, right? Do we see that same importance in prayer? Well, Christ is omniscient, Christ is omnipotent, we are not. Right? Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet he still prayed. Then how much more us? And that is where sometimes we forget that we on ourselves, we have no power to be ambassadors for Christ. We on our own, we have no power to preach the gospel, right, in two senses, one verbally, but also with our lives, to live a life that is consistent with the gospel. We have no strength of ourselves to do so. And sometimes we think that we have the power, we have the strength, and then when we go through the day, and then we fail, then that teaches us a lesson, isn't it? Because we think that we could stand without Christ. We think that we could go through a particular day without seeking Christ. And then we fail. Then we see the importance of prayer. But you see, for Christ, it was not like that. Christ sought the Father first and foremost, before he even started his day of service. And how much more then do we need God's help, need God's strength? And we must also understand that when we pray before we begin the day, right? That's why we say that, you know, do your quiet time in the morning, right? Do your quiet time before you start the day, right? This is the basis, right? This is the principle. Christ himself did so. Right? And so we follow Christ's pattern. We pray, we seek the Lord at the start of the day to help us through the rest of the day, right? To help us in every area of service, everything, every decision that we make, every word that we say, every thought that we think, right? We pray that the Lord will help us. But sometimes what we fail to see is that we need prayer not just because we need help. Right? Sometimes we think that we need to pray in the morning, we need to seek the Lord in the morning because we need help. Right? We need grace. We need strength. Right? And that's why we seek the Lord. Yeah, that is true. That is correct. We can seek God for help. But remember, prayer is much more than that, as we have said. Prayer is worship. Prayer is communing with the Father. And we need communion with the Father in order for us to live the rest of our days. Right? And so we must see the need for prayer not just as a need for help, but a need for God's presence, a need for our worship of God. And so do we see prayer as such? And again, a very good indicator of whether we see the importance of prayer is our daily quiet time. Do you commit yourself to keep your time with the Lord so as to spend time worshipping the Lord, so as to spend time communing with Him, and yes, laying your petitions, your needs before His feet? And that is what will direct and dictate the rest of the day. Right? How many times have we, in our lifetime, you know, sometimes when we neglect our quiet time, right, then at the end of the day, right, then when we go through the day, then we make many mistakes. Right, we sin against the Lord. And then at the end of the day, when we now have a bit of time, then we read what we were supposed to read in the morning, right, at the end of the day, then we realize that, hey, actually, if I had known this, if I remembered this in the day, in the morning, how much would it have helped me in the rest of the day.
Right? How much it would have helped me to overcome the struggles in the rest of the day. Right? That is what our time with the Lord is supposed to be. So before we even talk about preaching the kingdom of the Lord, before we even talk about living a life for Christ, being a witness and a testimony and ambassador for Christ, first we must understand where our power lies. Where does our resource to do these things, where does it come from? It comes not from ourselves, it comes from Christ. And so therefore we need Christ. We cannot rely on our own strength to do so. And so for Christ, He is our perfect example. And what He did was that He sought His Father right early in the morning, right at the beginning. And so do not neglect at your quiet time, right? Do not neglect your time with the Lord every day. And sometimes it will require sacrifice, right? As Christ Himself here sacrificed, right? Sleep deprived. If it requires you to wake up earlier in the morning, then wake up earlier in the morning, right? To spend the uninterrupted time with the Lord. If it requires you to sleep earlier at night and forego your free time, right? Then do so, so that you can seek the Lord in the morning. And that is what our Christian life is supposed to be like. Right, before we even talk about preaching the gospel, right, first we must make sure that our relationship with the Lord, our fellowship with the Lord is firm and certain. Then only can we talk about service, ministering to others, preaching the gospel. Okay? So this is what Christ did. And when Christ sought the Lord, and then now the Bible tells us that the disciples came and told Him, "All men are looking for you." Now Christ was ready to minister. Okay, so that's what verse 38, 39 tells us. And He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And He preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And so what Christ did, after He had spent time with the Lord, now He went forth to preach the gospel. Right? He says, "Let us go into the next towns." Right? So yes, He has ministered in this town, right, in Capernaum, right, but now let us go further. There are more people who need to hear. There are more people who need to hear the gospel, who I need to minister to. Right? And that is where He went. He went to preach the gospel throughout the synagogues in Galilee. And the Bible tells us that as He preached, He also cast out devils. Right? And that shows us how He showed His power, showed His deity, even as He went forth to preach. And so we must understand that while we are living on this earth, we are not left on our own to be ambassadors for Christ. Right? We are not left to our own devices. We are not left to our own strength, to our own willpower, to be an ambassador of Christ. We are left on this world to preach the gospel to others. That is our duty, that is our calling as citizens of heaven. Right? But even as we have been given this calling, even as we have been given this mandate, we must remember that we must rely on the Lord to help us to fulfill this calling, this mandate. And when we see prayer as something absolutely necessary, non-negotiable, then will we taste and see of the power that the Lord will give us to live for Him. And it's no wonder why we see in our life, right, sometimes so lacking. Right? Why is it that, you know, there are times that I fall so easily to sin? Why is it there are times that I make all these mistakes? Right? Make all these bad decisions? Is it not because we have not prayed? Is it not because we have not sought the Lord? Is it not because we are relying on our own ideas, our own wisdom, and not on the Lord's wisdom? And so, unless we understand the importance of prayer, we will not be able to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. So, now that we understand the resource to preach the kingdom of God, we must also know the why. Right? Why should we preach the kingdom of God? Because it is one thing to know that we have power, right? We have strength to preach the kingdom of God. Right? But until we know the why, right, it will just be us forcing ourselves to do it. Right? We say that we must preach the kingdom of God, okay, because we are commanded, and then we just go and preach the kingdom of God. Right? Then if we just rely on our human willpower, right, as time goes on, right, by and by we will stop. Right, so we must solidify the reason, right? Why is it that we need to preach the kingdom of God? Right, and when we understand the why, then it will fix our motivations, right? What our motivations to preach the kingdom of God. Okay, so what is the why? Now for this, we will look at Luke's gospel. Okay, so Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. Right, so this is the parallel passage. Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. Okay, in verse 42, the Bible here says, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them." Right, okay, so this is what we saw already earlier in Mark's gospel, right? How the people now came and asked him to see, meet the people, right? The people are seeking after him, right? So Luke here gives us a bit more of an insight, right? What did the people do when they came to find Jesus? Actually, it was not just Simon and some disciples. Actually, it was quite a sizable group, right? Because now the people sought him, and then they came to him, and they stayed him that he should not depart from them. Right, and this is how the people expressed their need to Christ. Right, when they came to seek Christ, actually, why did they come to seek Christ? Why did they ask Christ to stay? Well, it is because they needed the gospel. Right, they needed Christ. And of course, we know that even before that, Christ had already been preaching in Capernaum. Right, in fact, quite often already in Capernaum, right? And then in the last week, we saw how he even had the power to heal, right? And many people were heard the gospel, many people were healed in Capernaum. And the people, the next day, they continued to seek after Christ because they had a need for Christ. Right? In fact, when you see here how it is constructed, right? In verse 42, they sought, and the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, right? So they were deliberate, right? The author here is trying to highlight, right, their need, right? They really sought after Christ because they really needed him. And this is exactly the reason why Christ preached in Capernaum earlier, right? Because he saw the need, right? He saw the need of the people. He even labored till the wee hours of the morning to meet their need for the gospel, to meet their needs of healing. He had a heart for the people. He loved them. And that is one of the reasons why we must preach the kingdom of God. Why did Christ preach the kingdom of God? It's because he saw the need of the people for the gospel. And it's the same for us. Right? The Lord has placed us in the world where there are people who need the gospel. And so in your schools, in where the Lord has placed you, in the places where you interact with unbelievers, that is the place where you must see their need. Right? Do not just think that, you know, when you go to school day after day, right, these are just, you know, people that just come and go. These are just people that from time to time you need to work with, and then when this stage of school is over, then I go on to the next stage, then they will just, you know, fade away, right? And then another group will come. Right, but as believers, we cannot just see the world, we cannot just see our lives in a materialistic point of view, right, or just a purely physical point of view. And the Lord has placed a people in your life, in your schools, in where the Lord has placed you, because they have a need. They have a need for the gospel. They have a need of their souls to be saved. And the Lord has placed you there to be an ambassador, to be a witness, to preach the kingdom of God to them. And you do so, yes, by your words, right, by sharing with them the gospel. You do so also by your life, right, by the way that you live, in the decisions that you make, and to show to the world what a life with Christ is like. And so, be mindful that this is your duty. Look out around you for the needs of the people, just as Christ here did. He saw their need. He met their need by preaching the kingdom of God. Okay, so that is the first reason, right? The need for the people. Now, the second reason that we find is in what Christ said in verse 43. Because when the people now came to him, what did Christ say? He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And so the idea here is that I have already preached to you the kingdom of God, right? I have already served to meet your need, right, of the kingdom of God. Now I must go forth to other cities to do the same. Right? And so it's not here is not so much that Christ said that, oh, you have a need, okay, I cannot meet your need anymore, I need to go. But the idea here is that I've already met your need, right? I've already given you the gospel, right? I've preached to you the kingdom of God, and now there are other places that I need to go to preach that same gospel, right? To preach the kingdom of God. And why did Christ have such, why did he have such a drive to preach the kingdom of God? Right? Do you realize, right, here when you read it, I must preach the kingdom of God. And the word must there, right, is a very strong word that sometimes even indicates a divine obligation. Right? It is a divine commission. I must do it. Right? Because God has entrusted me with this commission to do it. In fact, we will see that that is the very reason why Christ had such a drive. Right? Why Christ was so earnest to now preach the kingdom of God to other cities. Right? Because here the Bible says, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for, or because, therefore am I sent. In Mark's Gospel, it says, therefore came I for. Right? Here, in Luke's Gospel, it says, therefore am I sent. Right? So both are true. Right? He said, therefore came I for, and therefore am I sent. And so the idea here is that Christ understood his commission. Right? He came for to do this work. Right? This was the reason why he came to earth. He was sent by the Father, and this word sent has the idea of sending with a mission. Right? The same word where we get the word for apostle. Right? So Christ was sent by the Father on a mission. Right? There was a commission of Christ to preach the gospel by the Father. And that was why he preached the kingdom of God. Right? The reason. And so for us as well, we must understand that the Lord has also given us the same mission. Right? In the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, right, we see the Great Commission of how the Lord has told us that we must go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the mandate. That is the commission that God the Father has given to you as well. And so the question is, will we obey that commission? Will we now go into the world and preach the gospel through our words and through our lives? And furthermore, we see from the example of Christ that as he went forth, as he was commissioned with this duty, he obeyed the commission. Right? In verse 44, right? As a result, he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Right? And in Mark's Gospel, we saw how he went throughout the synagogues in Galilee to preach the gospel, right? To preach the kingdom of God. So leaving Capernaum, there were so many other synagogues within Galilee, right? He went there to preach the kingdom of God. He obeyed the Father, in other words. And so when we understand our commission, right, we must not just think of it as, you know, okay, yes, I have this commission, but I can be lazy about it. Yes, I have this commission, but you know, sometimes if I feel like it, I'll work a bit harder. If I feel like it, I will minister more. If, you know, I'm not really in the mood, you know, today I'm a bit more tired, okay, then never mind. I don't need to preach the gospel. I'm not feeling it. And then, that is not what the nature of the commission is like. An ambassador has no downtime. Do you realize that? An ambassador is always an ambassador for the nation, whether he's eating, whether he's sleeping, whether he's recreating, or whether he's working. Right? He's always an ambassador of the nation. And it's likewise for us. Right? When we are on this earth, we are called to preach the gospel in word and in deed. That is what we are doing 24/7. Right? But the question is, are you preaching the gospel correctly by your life and by your words? Or are you preaching the gospel incorrectly by your life and by your words? Right? And for Christ, he obeyed the Father. Right? He understood that God, his Father, sent him with this duty to reveal to the world what the kingdom of God is and how they can enter the kingdom of God. And we also have that same duty. We also must see their needs. We must also understand that God has given us the Great Commission, and then we go forth and do so out of love for God. And you will be surprised how the Lord can use you. And oftentimes when we talk about preaching the gospel, it is not just only preaching about how the Lord Jesus Christ can save you from your sins. I understand that many of you, maybe in your lives, not all the people around you are unbelievers. Right? Some of them may be professing believers as well. Right? But your duty is also to them. Right? Because when we talk about preaching the gospel, yes, we are talking about the gospel as in the gospel that saves, the gospel of salvation. But we are talking about the whole body of Scripture as well. Right? Whether we are living by Scripture or whether we are explaining to others what Scripture says, that is our commission, that is our duty. And so even for the Christians or the professing believers that God has placed around you in your life, you also have that duty to draw them to Christ. You also have that duty to explain and expound to them Scripture. You see, the only way that we can preach the kingdom of God is we must first know the kingdom of God. Right? In order to tell others about what the kingdom of God is like, we must first know what the kingdom of God is. And so, when the Lord has placed you in your classes, in your schools, where there may be unbelievers, where there may be believers, right, make sure that you understand, right, how you can share with them the gospel, how you can even talk to them about certain doctrines that they may hold to that are not correct. Right, you must understand, you must know, in order for you to explain. And of course, that also doesn't mean that you can live your life any old how. You still have to live in line with Scripture, and you speak in line with Scripture. And that is something that the Lord also had to teach me in my schooling days. And by God's grace, during my JC time, I had a classmate that was a professing believer. And because he was a professing believer, we became close friends, whereby we knew that each other, we knew each other were believers, but he came from a Methodist church that was actually quite charismatic in their persuasion. Right? And not only just charismatic in their persuasion and teaching, they were also Arminian. Right? So as opposed to Calvinistic doctrines that we hold to. Right? So they believe that you can lose your salvation. They believe that you must you must exercise, or rather they believe that you can choose to be saved, right? As opposed to God electing us. Right, so there were all these differences in our doctrines, right? Differences in our understanding of Scripture. Right? He doesn't use the KJV, he uses the NIV, then we use the KJV. Right? So there were all these differences. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to speak to him about those differences. Right? To explain to him, actually, you know, this is what the Bible says. Right? The Bible says that we are elected, we are predestinated, we are chosen of God. Right? The Bible says that, you know, God's Word is perfect, and that's why we use the King James Version. Right, so I had the opportunity in school to explain all these things to them, to him. Right, and of course, in those days, right, he was very earnest. He was an earnest Christian. So when I shared with him from Scripture, right, he will always be willing to listen. But of course, right at that point in time, he was still in his Methodist church. He was not yet maybe convicted of those truths. Right, but many years later, right, and by God's grace, even right now, I'm still in contact with him after 12 years. Right, many years later, right, the Lord had led him, right, to another country, right, to immigrate there. And then he also now attends another church that is more sound than his previous church. And the Lord also somehow worked in his life by and by bit, to slowly move him to the more correct understanding of Scripture. Right, and every time that he's back in Singapore, we will always try to meet up, right? We'll still meet up, we'll still try to explain to him from Scripture, talk about Scripture, help him in his understanding of Scripture. And that was how the Lord used just interactions like this many years ago, right, to work in the life of a believer. Right? Not by my own expertise, not by my own goodness,
In fact, I would say that there are many times I failed the Lord in my testimony, in my junior college days, many regrets. Right, but nevertheless, the Lord was merciful, right? And the Lord still was pleased to use such interactions to help him to come to a right understanding of Scripture. Right? So now he's not Arminian anymore. Now he's Calvinistic. Right? Now he's also not charismatic anymore. Right? But he's more reformed in his thinking. Right? But nevertheless, still things that need to work on. Right? But we see, it's quite amazing to see how the Lord just works like that. Right? Over time. Right? You never know how your little interactions, the little explanations of Scripture, the decisions that you make that you think people don't see, but they actually see, and how that can impact and affect those people around you. Maybe not immediately, but maybe in the future. The Lord may bring to remembrance such things, and the person remembers that, hey, actually, I had a Christian who was a classmate of mine. And he said certain things, he did certain things. And that created an impact on me, and because of that, now I want to seek God's kingdom. Right, that is our duty on earth. Right, not to worry about how much or how many will come, not to worry about how much more we can bring into the church or bring into God's kingdom. Right, but our duty is simply to go out there and preach the gospel. And whomsoever the Lord will save, whomsoever the Lord will impact, whomsoever the Lord is pleased to use us to minister to, He will do it. Right, we leave it to the Lord. Our duty is just to do what Christ did. When we have the commission, we simply go forth, preach the gospel through our lives, through our words. Right, but make sure that you know the gospel, right? If you don't know what are the differences between Arminianism and Calvinism, then if someone comes to you and asks you, right, can you explain to me? Oh, then you cannot explain. Ah, then that's where you learn, right? That's where you grow. That's what I had to do. Right, at first, I also don't know how to explain. So, okay, go and study. Right, study. How to explain from Scripture? Okay, then come back and then explain to him. Right? And that is how we ought to grow in our understanding of God's Word, and also to go forth and now preach the kingdom of God. Okay? So that is one example. Right? So know the reason. Know the reason why you have been called to preach the gospel. Right? You are called by God, given this duty, therefore you must go. But what happens when we are faithful to discharge our duty to preach the gospel? Well, you will see that there will be repercussions. Right? Repercussions not in a bad sense, but in a good sense. There will be good consequences that will follow when you are faithful and dedicated to fulfill this commission that God has given to you. And this is what we see in Matthew's gospel, right? The other parallel passage. Okay, so now you turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23-25. Here in Matthew chapter 4, what we find here is more of the later part of the narrative. Right? So remember, the narrative includes Christ in a desert place, right, praying. Right? And then the disciples came to ask him, "Where are you?" And then now Christ says, "I need to go forth to other places to preach the gospel." And then Matthew's gospel will continue on from there. Okay, so here the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases, all manner of disease among the people." Right, and so we see how when the Lord Jesus Christ went about preaching, he also healed people, right? But how can we understand this aspect of healing, or how can we apply this truth of healing, right, to us? Right, we know that we are not called by God to go out into the world, preach the gospel, and heal also, right, or cast out devils. Right, that is not our calling. But remember what we discussed last week. What is the significance of Christ healing the people? Remember, one of the significance is that he's showing to the world that he is God, right? But do you remember what was the other significance of the healing of the people? Remember what we consider in Isaiah? Right? In Isaiah, the Bible tells us that God, when Christ comes, he heals us of our
diseases, right? He heals us of our sorrows and our griefs. The healing of the gospel, right? Yes, it is a spiritual healing, but it also highlights the future whereby our bodies will also be healed, right? And so remember the healings that Christ did in those days. Yes, it is to show forth his deity, but it is to also tell the people that this is what the gospel is like, right? This is what will happen when you believe in the gospel. In that final day of glorification, you'll be healed of all your diseases. Right, and so in other words, to think of it, or to put it in another way, the healing of Christ was a display, physical display, of the fullness of the gospel. Yes, we cannot see that which is spiritual, right, with our physical eyes. And so when the gospel, that which is spiritual, is now displayed, manifested physically, well, that is what healings were for. Right? It is to show to the world that just as Christ heals your body, he also can heal your soul. And so what can we learn from this then? When Christ went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, right? So we see here that when Christ went about, he taught the people, there's content, right? There is explanation of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But at the same time also, it was not just explanation and no action. Right, there was action, there was display. There was the showing of what the gospel is like in action. And that's what we must also do. Right, so when Christ went about preaching the gospel, yes, many people were blessed. Right, all manner of people, they were healed, they were blessed by, yes, the preaching of God's word. They were also blessed by the works of Christ. Right, and it's the same for us. When we go forth to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, yes, it is a verbal preaching, an explanation of the gospel, explanation of spiritual truths, but it must also couple together with that a life that is consistent with the gospel, a life that displays the gospel. And yes, we don't go about healing people, right? We cannot display the gospel in that way, but we can display the gospel by our responses to difficult situations. We can display the gospel by our speech, by the words that we do not use, by the words that we choose to use. We can display the gospel by the things that we choose to engage in as activities and things that we refrain from. Right? These are the ways that we display the gospel physically and manifesting the kingdom of heaven. And when such a thing is done, right, in the case of Christ, when he preached the gospel and he also worked out the gospel, verse 24, the Bible tells us, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And so what was the impact? What was the result of the preaching of the gospel and the manifestation, physical manifestation of the gospel? Well, it was many came to seek him. Many wanted to know more of Christ. Many wanted to hear about Christ. Many came now to seek him. And why did they seek him? Well, the Bible here gives us a whole list of problems that these people had, right? They were diseased, right, diverse diseases. They were some of them were lunatic. Right? Lunatic means that they were mentally unsound. Some of them, they were physically unsound, like those who had the palsy, right, those who were handicapped physically. Some were going through torments. And very interestingly, the word torments here sometimes is used to describe the torments of hell. Right? In other words, this is excruciating pains. Right? Pains that cannot be described. Pains that are insufferable. Right? They came. Right? Why did all these people come? And not only those with diseases, but those who had spiritual problems, right? Those who are possessed by devils. Why did they come? Well, they came, yes, seeking help, but they came because first and foremost, they knew their need. They knew that they were lunatic. They knew that they had palsy. They knew that they were demon-possessed. And they knew that the only one who could help them is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they understood that Christ can heal, Christ can help, they came to seek Christ. All because they saw His power, or they heard of His power, they heard of His gospel, and now they came to seek Him. And that is another result of our preaching of the gospel. Yes, immediately, maybe no one will hear. Maybe no one will tell you that they noticed. But when we consistently preach the gospel with our lips and with our lives, others will be drawn to Christ. Others will begin to see their need. Others will begin to wonder, what do you have that I do not have? And then they will come and ask, and they will come and seek. They will come and want to know more about who this Christ is, just as the people came to seek Christ. And we know that their seeking of Christ did not just stop there. Right? It wasn't just, I seek to know, then I'm just seeking, right? And then after that they leave. Okay? But the Bible here tells us now in verse 25 that they did not only seek, but now they followed Him. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And so what was the result of Christ preaching and demonstrating the gospel? Many followed Him. And so yes, they sought Him. They sought Him to help them with their need. But after Christ helped them with their need, it did not just stop there. Right now, they followed Him. Now, they were His disciples. And the Bible here says, great multitudes. Yeah, so of course, we know that some of them, in fact, maybe many of them, were not true disciples. Right? Later on, when we see in John 6:66, we see how many of them now departed from Christ, right? After the feeding of the 5,000, right? And after Christ rebuked them, after Christ said that you must eat my blood, eat my flesh and drink my blood, many of them were offended and many left. But yet we know that some still truly follow Christ, right? Because of what Christ preached, because of what Christ did. And here the Bible also tells us not only were there great multitudes, right? Really a lot. But the Bible also tells us the different regions that these people came from. From Galilee. Right? Galilee was where Jesus was at that point in time. And the Galilean region is actually very interesting. Because the Galilean region, the cities surrounding Galilee, actually they were made up with a mixture of both Jews and Gentiles. Right? How do we know this? Do you remember in the account of Christ, in the account of the Gospels, when Christ cast out the demons into the pigs, right? And then the pigs ran off the cliff and then died, right? They were drowned. Right? That event happened within the region of Galilee. Hey, but have you ever wondered, why are there pigs in a Jewish country? Right? Because to the Jews, the pigs are unclean. Right? Then why are there people rearing pigs in Galilee? Well, that is because the region of Galilee was made up of a mixture, right, with Jews and also with Gentiles, right? So certain regions of Galilee are Jewish, certain regions of Galilee are Gentile. And so when the Bible here says that there was many people, some from Galilee, right, it means that a mixture of both Jews and Gentiles, right? Maybe some of the Gentiles that heard, they also came, they also sought. Right? And so that was Galilee. Then also Decapolis. Now Decapolis was literally, it means 10 cities, right? Deca means 10, right? And polis is cities, right? So 10 cities. And these 10 cities originally were Greek, right? And after the Romans came into power, right, these were Roman cities. And in fact, very interestingly, these 10 cities were directly accountable to Rome, right? So Rome was ruling directly in these cities, right? So it's not like a vassal state like Judea, right, in those days, right, where they had a regional king, right? For these cities, they answer directly to Rome, right? And so these people who lived in Decapolis, right, they lived under, yes, the Roman law, the Roman rule, right, but they were probably the Jews that were dwelling in such cities. So again, different backgrounds, right? Different system of governance. Okay, so not only Decapolis, but the Bible also tells us Jerusalem and Judea. Now, Jerusalem and Judea will be the bulk of where the Jews stayed, right? And especially the religious Jews, right? Because the temple was in Jerusalem. And so these were the devout Jews, these were the religious Jews. Right? And also, the Bible tells us, also beyond Jordan. And beyond Jordan would describe the area of, or the area in the Promised Land that is on the east side. Okay, so the east side of the Jordan River, right, or the right side of the Jordan River, if you see the map. Right, and if you remember, the main part of Judea, or Judea is actually on the left side, right, on the west side of the Jordan River. Right, but now the Bible tells us that even those who are from across the river, right, yes, some people lived in those areas, even the baptism, right, or rather when Jesus and John were baptizing, right, one of the places of baptism was Bethany beyond the Jordan, right? So that is that area, right? On the other side of the Jordan River. And so the fame of Christ even spread until the other side of the Jordan River. Right? And there, a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, right, they also heard of Christ and they also came and followed Christ. And so why do we go through all that to explain everything? Well, it's to tell us that different people from different backgrounds, right, from different experiences, under different rules, they all came and followed Christ. All because Christ went about preaching the gospel, all because Christ also demonstrated the gospel. And that is what we ought to do as well. Right? When we now go forth, yes, when Christ also went forth himself, some rejected, but those who saw their need, and those who saw how Jesus could meet their need, they came to him, they followed him, and they had their needs met. And it's the same for us. And we do not know how far our testimony will reach. We do not know whether it will be, in the case of Christ, that even cities round about the region, right, they all hear of the gospel, right, just because of one testimony. In fact, actually in today's time, it is even more so that can be a possibility, right, because of social media. Right. And when we think about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Christ, right, do not just think it is just your verbal words or your literal actions physically, but even your online presence. Right? What will that be, or what does that tell others about the kingdom of God? Know that your reach can really go so far, right? Whether it is for good or whether it is for evil. You are ambassadors of Christ, even in this online age. Right? There can be many who know of Christ, who come to hear of Christ, maybe because of the things that you post, maybe because of the things that you say, right? Or maybe just in general, the way that you live your life, the things that you choose to do and choose not to do, even online. And by that, people can be interested, can come now to seek, and then now to know Christ, to follow him. Right, so do not see your life also as something that, you know, the Lord cannot use. Right, the Lord can use you if he so chooses. Right, our duty is not to wonder or to scheme how to be better used by the Lord, but our duty is simply to obey. Our duty is simply to be faithful. Faithful in every single area of our lives, to live our lives in a consistent manner, consistent to the gospel. And when we do that, right, the Lord can use us to impact others. The Lord can use us to draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ in his time, in his own way. And that is the duty of an ambassador of Christ. Your duty as an ambassador is not to force someone into the kingdom of Christ. Your duty as an ambassador is also not to bribe a person into the kingdom of Christ. Your duty as an ambassador is simply to declare what are the terms of entering the kingdom of heaven, and to explain it and to convince, yes, to do your best to speak for, but ultimately it is the Lord's work. And so we must never forget that, right? Tying it back to what we started with, the resource of prayer. Right? We need the Lord because it is his work. Right? By our own strength, it's not by our scheming, our planning, right, our plans of how can we reach the greatest number of audience that will now cause many to be saved. Right? The Lord can use that, and that may be part of our faithfulness, our duty, right, to preach the gospel. But that without the Lord, it will not be blessed. The Lord cannot use it for his glory. And so make sure that we are faithful ambassadors for Christ. It begins with prayer. It begins with our knowledge of our need for God and His help. And then we must know the reason why we preach forth the gospel is because we have been commissioned by God to do so. We have been saved. We have been given. We have tasted of this victory that we have over sin and death. And can we not go forth naturally out of love for the souls of men to preach forth the gospel? And finally, know that there will be results in the Lord's time according to His purposes. And our duty is simply to be faithful. And so, what kind of ambassador will you be? Right, remember, it is not whether you are an ambassador or not. Right, if you are a believer, you are an ambassador. But will you be a good ambassador, or will you be a very poor ambassador that turns people away from the kingdom of God instead of drawing them in? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Thee how He had that devotion to seek after Thee for strength, for help, for fellowship at the start of every day. We thank Thee for His example in His preaching and in His ministry and in His life, how He was faithful, how He was very aware of the mission that You had given to Him. And we thank Thee also for how You have used the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of many. And O Lord, we simply pray that You'll be pleased to use us as such unworthy vessels, that You'll be pleased to help us to be faithful to our calling to preach the kingdom of God, whether it is in our words or whether it is in our actions. And we pray that You will give us more grace and help us to be faithful, to live out our life in obedience to Thy holy word, that others may also see Christ in us, and they too can enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Lord, we pray that You continue to be with us for the rest of this YF meeting. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.